Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. After more than 1,000 years of prophets speaking to Israel of a coming Messiah and several hundred more years of prophetic silence, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, as the prophets foretold. He went on to preach, prophesy, and die on a cross. After rising from the dead, he ascended into heaven, promising to return. Will you be ready? Please listen as Pastor Ray Viola unpacks several scriptures related to Jesus' words taken from the last chapter of the New Testament. Behold, I come quickly.
We're going to be looking this morning at many scriptures, but our foundational scriptures all come from the book of Revelation, chapter 22. And we're going to be looking at verses 7 and 12 and 20. Revelation 22, verses 7, 12, and 20. This is Jesus speaking. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Verse 12. Behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. In Revelation 22:20, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. When I am having a hard time processing or understanding where my God is when certain things are going on in my life, I read Job 38 through 41. When I lose sight of the majesty and power of God, I read Genesis 1 and 2 and Isaiah chapter 40. And when I am feeling a bit too cozy and comfortable here on planet Earth, I read Revelation chapter 21 and 22. Imagine sitting in a gathering of saints around 90 AD and hearing these words of Jesus Christ that I just read, addressed to the seven churches in Asia. In 70 AD, the city of Jerusalem and the Herodian temple were devastated by Titus and the Roman army, just as Jesus said they would. But something that they may have expected to happen in 70 AD did not happen. Jesus Christ did not return. Three times at the end of the Revelation, some 20 years later, these persecuted and bewildered saints hear the words of Jesus that we read together just a moment ago. Three words. Actually, four words. Behold, I come quickly. To give us an understanding of what Jesus says here, let me give you a wider lens meaning of what the Greek word for quickly means. Shortly, without delay, soon, by surprise, suddenly. May I ask you this morning, how do you think that they in 90 AD and you and I in 2015 are to interpret those words of Jesus, behold, I come quickly? I know what some of you are thinking. Do you know how many times I've heard preachers say that Jesus is coming soon and he hasn't come yet? You realize that by scoffing at the promise of his coming, you're actually fulfilling Bible prophecy by making such statements. And not only that, you are blinded by the God of this world as for the reason behind his quote-unquote delay. 2 Peter 3 and verse 3 and 4 and verse 9, knowing this first, here's the prophecy, that there shall come in last days scoffers while walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And here's the reason for the delay. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that you perish, but that you come to repentance. Jesus said in Luke chapter 19, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. One of the banes of the church from its inception are those who have erroneously predicted the day of the end of the world. Needless to say, every single one of those predictions have been wrong. And every time I've said they're wrong, I've been right. My objective this morning is to seek by God's grace and help to once again get us to think and to live the same radical way that these saints were thinking and living when they heard these words. Behold, I come quickly. If you can, forget the false prophets. Forget the naysayers. Forget the scoffers. What did Jesus say? Behold, I come quickly. Question, has he come yet? Is he coming? When? Shortly, without delay, soon, by surprise, suddenly. You know what that tells me? Be ready. You know what that tells me? Get your house in order. You know what that tells me? Get your priorities right. We are studying on Sunday morning 1 Corinthians. And if you have fast-forwarded reading, and I hope you are, in the last chapter of this book, we read in chapter 16, verse 22, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, Maranatha. Paul closes this book by exhorting the church with this warning. If you are not in love with Jesus Christ, anathema, Maranatha. Anathema means simply accursed. In other words, if you are plain church, simply going through the religious motions of following Jesus Christ, but do not have a loving, real relationship and fellowship with him, you will be cursed forever. That's a serious and sobering statement. It was serious and sobering for Corinth, and it's serious and sobering for us as well. Maranatha. The Lord is coming quickly. That's an expression of eagerness for his return. That's what it says at the end of the book of Revelation. Eagerness. That encourages us to be ready. Now we have to make a clear distinction here. As you're reading the New Testament, you will see phrases like the Lord is near or the Lord is at hand. And those speak of his nearness to us here on earth. Jesus left us a promise. I will never leave you, never forsake you. I will be with you always. That's a precious promise. But that is entirely different than the promise that Jesus repeats here in Revelation. Behold, I come quickly. Yes, he's near. Yes, he is with us. Praise God for that. But he says, I'm coming quickly. The two are different. In the upper room, Jesus told the apostles in John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Only God could say that. If I were to say to you this morning, believe in God and believe in me, and you ran for the exits, good for you. Jesus, God Almighty says, believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, what? I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus hasn't even left yet. And he's telling them that he's going to come again. How did Jesus comfort these troubled saints after he told them that he was going to be departing from them? By telling them that his departure was in order to go and prepare a place for them. Do you believe that? He then promised that he would return and receive him to himself and take them who believe in him to be with him forever. Jesus also said that he would send the Spirit of God to dwell in them, and that the Spirit of God would equip them with all that they needed to live for him and serve him. And those words of Jesus in the upper room, this is before the cross, were a source of great hope and peace that he knew the disciples were going to need. They're going to be bewildered. They were going to be confounded. He said he was going to come back, and he was going to send the Spirit. Beloved, do you remember what happened after Jesus went to the cross, after he rose again, and after he spent 40 days and 40 nights with these men, showing himself alive by many infallible proofs in Acts chapter 1? Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, we read, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come." This same Jesus. I love that. Not another Jesus. Not the Jesus of Islam. Not the Jesus of Hinduism. Not the Jesus of the cults, but the Jesus of the Word of God. What happened here in Acts chapter 1? Jesus was taken up into heaven. How was he taken up into heaven? He was taken up in the clouds. Take a guess how Jesus is going to return from heaven. Take a wild guess. In like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Revelation 1:7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Every eye shall see him. How's it going to happen? It's going to use the internet? I'm of the personal persuasion that God does not need to use the internet or any man-made inventions to display his glory. All I know is that when he comes, every eye is going to see him. And I'm not sure that it's going to be give them enough time to say, well, there's a news flash. He's coming quickly. He's coming by surprise. Here in Acts chapter 1, what preceded the rapture of Jesus into heaven? Well, the promise of the restoration of the kingdom to Israel and the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer to enable you and I to live for Christ and carry out the proclamation of his gospel. But here's what I see here. Very important. There's a lot of end times prophecy junkies. And every time there's headline news, you know. But this much I can tell you. Whatever the scriptures say are the signs that will precede his second coming are going to be fulfilled, because he hasn't come yet. But here's what I believe. Instead of trying to figure out when all of the pieces and details of the prophetic puzzle are going to happen, things that only the Father knows, I'm okay with that. I'm okay that the Father knows what's going on. Are you? I'm going to give the Holy Spirit to you, and you go out and live and bring the gospel to every creature and to every nature. We have marching orders. The late Keith Green once said that every generation of believers are going to be held accountable for every generation of souls. I believe that. So how should we live? Behold, I come quickly. When you hear those words, what does it do to you inside? Anything? Nothing? What's your response? It was written concerning the faithful believing saints of the Old Testament in Hebrews chapter 11, these words, beginning of verse 13. These all died in faith, having received the promises, not having received the promises, pardon me, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that, notice, they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. We're not talking about Spain or Italy. They seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country. That is, and heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Amen. Three amens. We're getting there. Peter says that the scattered and persecuted saints in 1 Peter 2:11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. Paul says that the saints who were living in the affluent, artsy, but immoral Roman colony in Philippians 3, 20 and 21, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Strangers, pilgrims. You know what that means? Saints, this earth and this world is not our home. I'm okay with that. I'm really okay with that. I'm really okay with that. We are strangers, and we are pilgrims, and we have been given by God the incredible responsibility of living lives of salt and light in this fallen and dark world. And part of the armor of God is that our feet are to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, living for Christ. Jesus is going to come quickly. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that with all my heart. I pray he would come right now. At the end of the Gospels, there is the command of God, of Christ, go into all the world. And in the Greek, it reads like this, go and as you are going, share the good news. Jesus is coming quickly. How should we live? In 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, beloved, now are we the sons of God. When are we the sons of God? Now. Right now. Isn't that great? So either now you are or now you aren't. Which one is it? Now you are the sons of God, and it doth not appear, yet appear, what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, so he hasn't come yet, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Glorious. I can't imagine what that's going to be like. And every man that hath this hope in him does what? Purifies himself even as he is pure. One sure indication that a person believes in the I come quickly return of the Lord Jesus Christ is that they will be in a deliberate pursuit of personal purity and holiness. Romans 13, verses 11 through 14 reads, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering or cohabitation and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." Once again, another sure indication that a person believes in the I come quickly return of Jesus Christ is that their lifestyle is going to be radically altered. From being conformed to this world and the fallen pleasures of this flesh, we're going to be putting on Christ and being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. You see, when you come to Christ, that's not when you start getting drunk. That's when you stop getting drunk. That's not when you start partying. That's when you stop partying. That's not when you start living with your boyfriend or girlfriend or male friend or female friend. That's when you stop it. Grace doesn't mean slow down sinning. It means stop. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." So much more. And the writer to the Hebrews here is exhorting the believers to be gathering together. He's not talking about fellowship at a house. He's not talking about a small group. He's talking about the kind of assembling like we are doing here today. He's not talking about, "Well, I belong to the internet church." Gathering together. And so much more as we see the day approaching. More. So how do I know if I'm a behold, I come quickly, child of God? I'm going to want to be doing this and all of the other kinds of fellowship more and more, not less and less. That is going to be a priority in my life. Are we really considering and loving one another? In Christ, are we doing that? Are we doing a good job, beloved, of provoking one another? Well, we do that really good. But I'm saying about provoking one another to love and to good works for the glory of God. Are we finding ourselves gathering together with the saints more and more or less and less? What does it say? "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." And I'm not saying this so that you say, "Oh boy, I feel really bad. I should come in next Sunday." If I was guest speaking at another church, I would say the same thing to those people. Because this is God's exhortation to the people of God. 1 Peter 4:7. "But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober, watch into prayer." If we believe the I come quickly return of Jesus Christ, we are going to be alert. We are going to be vigilant. We are going to be guarding our hearts and our minds. We are going to be praying without ceasing. Bless the Lord, oh my soul,
bless his holy, his wonderful. Join us on Monday at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Sila, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. What is Christmas all about? It's about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Redeemer of man, who was born in a manger, lived on this earth for 33 years, and died to take away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ, the Redeemer of man, is the central theme of all Scripture, and also the theme of our Christmas messages here at Koinonia. He is our light in the darkness, bringing perfect peace to those who keep their mind stayed upon Him. May we lift up our Redeemer Jesus this Christmas and pray that many would see the glory of God in the face of our precious Lord and Savior. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.